Jenny sang there a few minutes ago. She's Jenny to me, anyhow. I think, other than maybe once or twice in those 23 years, except this year, that we stayed with Jenny and Brad's parents, Brother Larry and Diane Eaton. And there were other reasons that we didn't this time. We were invited if we didn't want to come and be with them. But the first time I remember, she was just a little bitty thing. And now she's got children as big or bigger than she was when we first came. And Brad, I heard one of Brad's little ones called him Dad the other night, and I punched my wife. I said, "Can you believe that?" Hard to believe that he'd turn out. Just kidding. But it's a lot of these younger ones that I don't remember because they've changed. You know, they over the years they just kept on till finally they jumped all at once, and I don't recognize them like I did when we first started coming. But it's a special, extraordinary blessing to see them here. Amen. A lot involved in that over the years. The care and concern and prayers of the parents. Care and concern and prayers of this church, and a pastor that loved them enough to teach them the truth. Amen. I doubt if there is any of us here today or tonight that recognize the enormous value of being in a church where we were taught the truth. Thank God for that, and it is indeed a great blessing and pleasure me to be a part of this conference. I want to thank the church, of course, for allowing us to come and just be here, for our pastor for inviting us to preach, for all the food, and Brother Mark Clark was talking about sleeping on that bed so crowded with that little dog. I tell you, the one they put us in over here, we could have slept with a St. Bernard and still had plenty of room. You know, you almost lose your wife. You have to fool around, see if you can find her over here somewhere. But anyhow, we thank you for the good room and bed and all that they furnished us. And I mean, it even come with a breakfast, you know, ready made. And then most especially for the conference and for the wonderful singing, congregational singing. It seemed like maybe they maybe sang better than they ever did, Brother Larry, wherever you are. I mean, they really did sing. That's a blessing to me. I can't help but think what it'd be like one of these days. I'm almost like old J.D. Sumner, and I hope he's gone on to where he said he was going. I don't know if that's between him and the Lord, but he said he had a dream once that he was in heaven and they'd formed a choir, and he began to tell how many thousand tenors and how many thousand sopranos and how many thousand altos, and they said, "Well, J.D., who's going to sing bass?" He said, "I am." And I felt about like, you know, when we get to heaven, all that singing going, I'd like to be able to sing something. Anyhow, but I rejoice in it. Then these special songs tonight. Brother and Sister James sang that one. Oh, I want to see him more than anything else in this world. And the reason I want to see him is, as Brother Mark saying, is because soon I'm going home. I know it's heaven, but it is my home. And I'm looking forward to that tonight. So many things I could say that I'll not take the time to do that tonight, but just rest assured that we are thankful to God and to you for the privilege of being here tonight. Amen. If we'd have never gotten to preach, we have been blessed beyond measure just being here. Wonderful fellowship. Amen. Man, these young preachers, three are my heart. Amen. 23 years ago, I was one of them. And I still try to think like them. But sometimes I get caught behind. But it does. It thrills my heart to see these young preachers. I'm not about young preachers that preach and stand for the truth. Pray that God will continue to bless you. And And let me just say this, and I'll get to a message tonight. The reason we have these young preachers that's preaching and standing for the truth is because there were some older ones before them that did it. Right. Hadn't been for that, you wouldn't have these young ones. And I thank God for that tonight. When I was one of the young ones, there were some others going before me that set the pace and set the direction for us to follow. If you will, turn with me tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We've wrestled somewhat today about what to preach. We had one that we wanted to preach, but some reason or another the Lord didn't want us to, and so we learned a long time ago not to go against Him if we know that it's against Him. I don't have anything new tonight. Just as the old Apostle Peter said, we'd like to remind you of some things that you've known all along, but we need to be reminded of them every once in a while to encourage us and get us to stop and to realize that, as somebody said today, the best is yet to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you will. Verse 13, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Let me just say this. When I grew up in the Baptist church I grew up in the surrounding area, the idea was that all a Baptist preacher had to do was just open his mouth. And most of the time when they do, something will come out. But the problem is, it's not what should come out. Most of the old preachers that I grew up with as a young man didn't believe you had to study. The only reason they believed you ought to pray is just for God to bless, not that He might teach you anything, but they believed that you just got up in the pulpit and just when the time got ready for you to preach, that God would just give you whatever He wanted you to preach. Now, I know this is particularly having reference to eschatology or the last days, but I still believe in every circumstance God would not have us to be ignorant. As a matter of fact, Hosea said that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. What's wrong with Baptists today, and what's destroying us, is the lack of truth. Amen. For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in there, or in the clouds, to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, if you will, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all those that love His appearing. I'm glad the Holy Spirit added the last part of that verse. Paul said that there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness which the Lord the righteous judge was going to give him. And then he said, not for me only, but for all those that love His appearing. The Lord will help me tonight. I'd like to preach to you tonight on the subject of the reasons why I'm ready for the Lord to return. Amen. The reasons why I'm ready for the Lord to return. We can truthfully say tonight that we've enjoyed the Lord these last 2 days and nights. Been a time far more greater than we can even evaluate with our mouth. We just couldn't say what it means to us, and I know you feel the same way. How wonderful it is to be able to worship and to serve the King of Glory. And that's what we've been allowed to do here for 2 days, just to worship Him. While some of these men were singing and some of these people were singing and some of these men was preaching, I just bowed my head and worshiped the Lord. I sensed His presence. I knew that He was here. And I knew that He was speaking and touching hearts, because He was speaking and touching my heart. And I worshiped Him. I adored Him. And I poured out my heart in praise to Him, the Lord of glory, that allowed me such a wonderful privilege. I tell you what, in these meetings we get mighty close to heaven. But as one songwriter said, when I come to services like this and things get so close to heaven, I begin, as that songwriter said, lately, to just have leaving on my mind. I really do. And folks, I believe that it's just around the corner. I believe that it's almost like over in the Song of Solomon. We can just almost see Him out there. You know, we can't hardly get a full glimpse of Him because we still have these physical eyes and we can only see Him with eyes of faith, but He's so close that He's almost visible to us tonight. Feel almost like old John the Apostle when God blessed him with that wonderful vision of the things to come. And as he closed out that book of Revelation, he said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." My, how glorious it'd be tonight if God would be pleased to open up the clouds and say, "Son, it's time to go bring my children home." We could see Him descend in the clouds. And we'd be caught up together to meet Him in that glory. It's going to happen one of these days. I'm ready for it. Many times the troubles and pressures of this old world cause us that are saved to want to leave out and go to be with Him. I realize that's selfish, but nevertheless it is true. Sometimes when things get so hard and so difficult for these old physical bodies, and we just almost cry out to the Lord that He would come and deliver us from this trouble. But I'm talking about a desire tonight that goes deeper than that. Goes down in the heart of God's people that wants more than just getting out of these troubles and these sorrows. But I want to see Him tonight. I want to be with Him. Live with Him and abide with Him forever and forever. Never again have to face what's in this old world tonight. And I have the promise from Him tonight that He is coming back after me. John 14:3 said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen. Not only that, but I have the promise of the angels over in Acts chapter 1. Said ye, "Men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up? The same Jesus that you see going away shall so come in like manner." Amen. Listen, my friend, I want to tell you something. The last ones that saw Him leave this old earth to go to the right hand of the Father are going to be the same ones that see Him come back. His church was there when He left the Mount of Olives, and His church will be here when He comes back. Amen. I'm looking for Him tonight. Amen. I'm ready for Him. By that, I'm not saying that I'm everything I should be. But I say that because He's everything He should be and everything He claimed to be. And I'm trusting in Him to get me there. First of all, I'm ready for Him to come back because I want to be removed from this old present, mixed up, crazy world that we're living in today. As Brother Sinek mentioned a few minutes ago, over in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 said, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world to the will of God and our Father." Amen. He's coming, folks. I know He is. That's why He chose me back in eternity. That's why He died for me. That one day He could come and take me out of this whole world. I want to tell you, we're not perfect now. But as old brother Eugene Clark said, all we like is just a trumpet blowing. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. And we might finally, one of these days when He comes back, be conformed to the very image of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be free, not only from the penalty and the power of sin, but from the very presence of sin. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I can't imagine. I've just tried to stop and to think what it would be like to have no evil or wickedness whatsoever. Boy, that'd be perfect peace. Oh, Apostle Peter said that Lot was a righteous man, meaning that in God's sight he'd been made perfect through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As a result of he being made righteousness by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, said his soul was vexed every day by what he saw and by what he heard in Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to tell you, if you're a child of God, if Jesus Christ lives and abides in your heart tonight, you're vexed every day of your life by what you see and by what you hear. You can't walk down the streets of the city without being vexed, harassed, and mocked and made fun of and everything else because you're a child of the King. They hate you. We feel and sense and witness the hatred of God on this earth today. Thank God one of these days we'll be absent from all of that. What an event. No more cursing. No more blaspheming. No more dirty jokes. No more drugs. As the song was saying today, folks, one day it'll be worth it all because it'll all be gone. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm ready for it to happen. I've had about all this old world I can stand. When I see moms and dads, hearts and lives almost broken over wayward children, what this world has done to them, I'm not taking away any of their responsibility. I'm going to tell you, young people, when you grow up, you're responsible. I want to tell you, there's not a parent here that's been perfect. But I want to tell you something. When you get grown, folks, the responsibility that once was your parents is no longer theirs. It's yours now. You know, the Old Testament, they said, you know, if the children, I forget how it goes now, but anyhow, if one of them ate the grapes, the other's teeth get sore, said, that's not the way it is, folks. If you're the one that eats the grapes, your teeth are the ones that get sore. And I want to tell you, young person tonight, regardless of how your parents raised you, when you get grown, you're the one who's going to have to answer to God. Now, the parents will have to answer for their failure, but they're not going to have to answer for your failure. You'll answer for that. And I see moms and dads whose lives have been almost ruined. I mean, if it hadn't been for the fact that God held them up, if God hadn't given them the grace and the strength to go on, they would have left this world because of the heartache and the sorrow that's come to them because of what the world has done to their children. And one day, thank God, we'll be lifted from that. We won't have to worry when our children go out at night that maybe they'll come in addicted to drugs or alcohol or whatever else may be out there for them. Even disease. Thank God He's going to deliver us from this present evil world. Secondly, I'm ready to meet the Lord because I want to be reunited with some that's going on. Somebody said, "Preacher, will we know them?" Well, I know one thing. We're not going to know less there than we do here. We're going to know more when we get over there than we know here. And if that's the case on you and me, I'm certainly going to know him over there. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Of course, we have family. I don't hardly know how a parent could walk off and leave a child in the cemetery if they wasn't saved. The child's safe because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that parent lost without the Lord will never see that child again unless it's at the great white throne judgment. I know tonight that I have some family. I have my mother and dad over there. I don't know about the rest of my family. I know I have a brother that's still lost, and I have one sister over there that said she was saved. I don't know. The evidence wasn't there. I have others. I believe with all my heart my mother and dad's over there, and I expect to see them. But I have some preacher friends over there. I got to know Brother Harry Healy a little bit, enough to thank God for him. Old Brother Galloway, some of you remember him? I love that old fellow. He was a blessing to me. Brother Dempsey Anderson, little dried up fellow, and I tell you, he's on fire for the Lord. I had the privilege of going over to Brazil and traveling with him. Man, he'd travel over hills and hollows to way early in the morning to preach to some people that cared nothing about him. They weren't interested in him. All they were interested in, and hopefully maybe he'd give them something. And he'd go over there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And I saw some of those that were saved, and to them he was the grandest thing in all the world. I know when we left over there to come back, and he came back with us that time, and one of the missionaries or preachers out of the church where he was wrote a poem and gave it to us. And he was talking about the shepherd. And it's having reference to Brother Dempsey being their shepherd. And how God had sent him over there. And they said to us that we are always afraid for him to leave and go back to the States because we're afraid he might not come back. Because of them, he was their shepherd. He was the one that had shown them the Lord. He was the one that had told them about the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were lost and undone and on their way to hell, and that their only hope was Jesus Christ. And God, with His marvelous grace, saved those people over there. I want to see him again. I tell you, old Dempsey was a fellow that if you ever got to know him, you couldn't hardly get rid of him. He just hang on to you. And then a fellow by the name of Harold Harvey. He's just an old country preacher. But he sure did love the Lord. And I'll tell you something else. He loved you preacher brethren too. And then, of course, there are many others, Brother Mitchell Smith. And I want to say tonight, he's still with us. Hadn't gone on to be with the Lord tonight, but I thank God for Brother Rue O'Connor. He's a member of my church, and to me, he seemed like a member of my family. Thank God that he's here tonight. But one of these days, I'm going to see him. Not only preacher brethren, but I want to tell you something, folks. I'm looking forward to seeing some old, faithful church members. I really am. Well, I know we've had troublemakers. All of us have, but I've had some good church members, folks. I've had some that love the pastor. I've had them to come and either call me over the phone or come knock on my door. Is there anything you need? I had a member one time when I hadn't been to that church for just a little while, and he came to me and said, "Pastor, I want to tell you something. I don't have much, but half of everything I've got is yours." And he meant that absolutely. When he killed hogs, I got half of it. That's the truth. Whatever he had was mine. He didn't have a lot of money, but half of what he had was mine. I've had deacons that would come to me and say, "Preacher, do you owe any money? If you don't mind telling me, I'd like to know." I'd tell him. And he was so gracious about it. He didn't go to church and say, "Now, listen, Brother Smith owes a debt back here that he can't pay, and maybe he shouldn't have owed it to start with, and let's give him a little offering or something." Or say, "I owed $1,000. He'd come back on whenever it was, Wednesday night, Sunday night, when it was, and he'd say, "I'd like to recommend to the church that since our pastor has been such a good pastor that we give him a $1,500 offering." Nobody never knew that I owed that. But he cared for his pastor, loved his church. I saw him when church needed something. I saw him write a check for the last dollar he had in the bank and bought what the church needed. I'm talking about church members, folks. That's some good church members. And I'm looking to see them one of these days. Some of my family, your family. David said that he wanted to see that little baby. He said he can't come to me, but I can go to him. Paul said as he wrote by the Holy Spirit, he said, "I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." But he said, when the Lord comes back, when the trumpet sounds, and when the Jesus Christ splits the clouds to come back to this earth, that he's going to bring them with him. And I'll see him again. Then, thirdly, I'm ready for the return of the Lord because I want relief from this old sinful body. Folks, it's been giving me trouble for 67 years, especially the last 50 of them. You know, sometimes we get the idea that after we are saved, trouble's over. But when you get saved, folks, trouble just started. Paul said, there's a war over in Romans chapter 7. There's a war going on. I tell you, when Jesus Christ moves in and takes his abode in this heart, a war starts. That old nature, that when I would do good, evil's always present. It's a fight. Now in that, maybe it's the 7th chapter of Romans and verse 24, Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Just like dragging around an old dead body all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, first four verses, Paul talks about leaving this old world. But in essence, what he's saying is, it's not that I really want to die. He said, I don't want to be unclothed. He said, what I really want, I want the Lord to come back and I can be clothed with that glorified body. Folks, I don't want to die. I'm having a good time. I really am. The older I get, the better time I have. I'm talking about in the Lord. I really do. Conferences like this, when people sing and praise God and preaching like this, folks, it lifts me up. You know, my wife don't understand. I never have been depressed. I don't know what it is. I can't counsel anybody that's depressed. I don't believe in it. You know, I've never had it. I know it's true. But somehow or another, God has always been pleased to show me that he's given me a little more time. I don't care how bad it gets today. Tomorrow it's going to be better. Folks, I want to tell you, suicide doesn't solve any problems. It just creates problems. As long as a child of God is alive, God's watching over him, and every day is going to get a little bit closer to that which he has waiting for you, that's reserved in heaven for you. Paul said, this old flesh profiteth nothing. There's nothing good in it. But then in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, said when he comes, he's going to change this old vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. Hallelujah! Folks, one day I'll be like him. 1 John chapter 3 says, verse 1, 2, and 3, said it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. David said over in Psalm 17:15, I'll be satisfied when I wake in his likeness. Folks, that's as good as I want to get. When I get like him. I've been wanting that for a long time. And praise God, when he comes back for me, I'm going to be like him. You know, we love these old bodies. Some of you ladies that... And my wife and I couldn't do that because we didn't. Our parents have the money where she could buy her a big fancy gown. I got messed up here a while back. And I called that the wrong thing. I believe it's a trousseau. Did I get that right? Is that the wedding gown, a trousseau? I call it a torso. And I guess it's a trousseau you put on the torso. I don't know. But, you know, they have that wedding gown that means so much to them when they met their groom and married them. And boy, they take it and they put it up in some kind of plastic bag and they hang it up. And I guess some of them probably don't, but some of them that's happy go back and look at it every once in a while and how grateful they are that God gave them a good husband. Wouldn't take anything for that wedding gown. I mean, it means so much. It begins to turn yellow after a few years. And after a while, maybe begin to actually rot and come apart. But it's still special to them. And that's where this whole body is. I tell you, it begins to go down. It begins to go back toward where it come from, the old earth. It begins to ache and hurt. I want to tell you something. You ladies that have that wedding gown, if someone was to come and tell you, say, now listen, I know you love that, but it's getting old and it's rotting and corrupting and it won't be long till it won't be worth anything. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a brand new one. Just like it when it was brand new. Still white and beautiful. And this gown will never get old. It'll never turn yellow. It'll never rot. You say, yes, I'll take it. Well, folks, that's exactly what the Lord's going to do for us. Amen. This old dying, rotting body that's going to lay down and turn back to dust. God said one day His Son is coming back. He's going to give us a new one. That'll never get old. It'll never get sick. Folks, I started to say it wouldn't be in the doctors in heaven, but we won't need them up there if they get there. Won't be in hospitals. Folks, we won't need any miracle drugs because the miracle that took care of us was a miracle of the grace of God. Amen. Won't be any cemeteries up there. Amen. Going to give us a new body. Amen. And then, fourthly, I've got to watch you somewhere. I've got to hurry up right quick. I'm ready for the Lord to come back because I want to receive the everlasting presence of the Lord. He said, it's coming back. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in there. We're going to be changed. Caught up together to meet the Lord in there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. As they sang that song tonight, oh, I want to look upon His face. I want to see Him. By eyes of faith in 1952 in June, one Sunday morning, by eyes of faith I saw Him hanging on an old cross for me.
I saw as he bowed his head and he said and cried out, "It's finished." And he was talking about my salvation. He completed it there. He paid my debt there. And I want to see him face to face. I want to bow before him. And I want to lay down before him and tell him, "I can't do it now. I wish I could, but I can't tell him how I feel now. I can't praise him like I want to. But in that glorified eternal body, I want to tell him how glorious, how wonderful, how majestic he is. My Lord and my God. I'm going to see the Creator, the Sovereign Lord of this universe, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God and Savior. I'm going to see Him, folks. He's mine. I belong to Him. He's mine. And then last of all tonight, I'm ready for His return because I want to reign with Him in glory. Revelation chapter 5, you read there, beginning verse 5, read down through verse 10, and it said we're going to reign with Him. 1 Timothy 6:15 says, "Which in times past He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." I'm ashamed to admit it tonight, but I used to not only belong to the Masons, but I also was a Shriner. You know what a shrine is? When you go through the Masons as far as you can, and then you're going into this shrine, which is the Islamic religion. Now, if you're some Masons, you're Shriners here tonight, and you want to shoot me because I'm breaking my vows, you go right ahead and shoot me. But I'm telling you the truth, and you know it if you've been there. And you go through the shrine, they have all these veils. You walk the hot sands of Mecca. And even the password and the secret word is an Islamic word. You are joining yourself up with the same kind of people that crashed the plane in the towers in New York. And they have what they call the potentate. And man, when you hear the potentate of whatever Shriners Club it is coming into town, and man, people all over the country begin to gather around to see that potentate. But I want to tell you the real potentate's coming one of these days. The only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Folks, and when He comes, people are not going to be coming, but people are going to be leaving. They're going to meet Him in there. He's going to take us with Him. His kingdom will come, and we will reign with Him in the fullness of His glory. I want to do that. One of the reasons I want to be sure that I'm a member of His bride, if you know of anything that I might have missed that keep me from being a member of His bride, I wish you'd tell me. But folks, I don't want to just go to heaven. I want to go first class. I want the very best He's got. He gave the best for me. One thing in closing. There's one sad thing about the Lord coming. And I hope I'm wrong. But in all probability, there's some of you sitting right here tonight. You want me ready when He comes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, tells us about that wicked one that's coming, that Antichrist. And he's called the Lie. That's what he's talking about. It says some of them believe lie and be damned. It's talking about him. That's the lie they're going to believe. But it said those that love not the truth. Talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You reject me, there's one coming in my name. Him you'll receive." Talking about the Antichrist. But it says those that, like you here tonight, that have heard the gospel, that have heard the truth and they love not the truth and receive not the truth, that God will send them a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie and be damned. I believe with all my heart, the best I can understand the Scriptures. If you're here tonight and you've heard what I've heard here the last 2 days, and Jesus Christ was to come back, and you've rejected what you've heard, you'll go to hell. I believe that. I wish I could say otherwise, but I can't. No, I really don't, because God knows what's best. I leave that in His hand. No doubt there's some here tonight that's saved. Old John said you better be prepared that you might not be ashamed when He comes. I know, folks, tonight, if the Lord's come tonight, I know there'll be some things that I'm ashamed of. And I do have a certain little fear about standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And I know I'm a miserable failure. I know I am. You don't know me like I know me. And I don't know me like God knows me. So I know I fail miserably. As I listen to some of these preachers preach, and I had to pray and say, God, forgive me, I've been such a failure. But I want to tell you something tonight. If you have refused to believe, to love and believe and receive the truth, if Jesus Christ was to come tonight, you'd be left with no hope. I wish I was capable tonight. I'm not. I wish I was capable of telling you what I really think it'll be like for you that are not ready when the Lord comes back. I think about it sometimes. I have a brother that's lost, and I go to bed some nights and I lay there and I think about him. For several years he wouldn't hardly have anything to do with me. Wouldn't even talk to me. And then the last 3 or 4 years circumstances have been such that I've been able to be with him some and talk with him. And as a matter of fact, he's even gone to church a few times in the last couple of years. He never did that before. But I lay there and I think about him sometimes at night, and I think about what it'd be like if God was to send His Son down to take me out of this world and He'd be left behind. And one of these days He'd lift up His eyes being in the torments of hell. And He'd think, oh, what if I'd have just done something about it back then? What if I'd have just believed what those people told me, how different it'd be? Well, I know, folks, God sits on the throne tonight. And I know you can never save yourself. I know you can never, within your own power, have the understanding of what it means to be a sinner, lost and undone. But I pray that God in His mercy would speak to your heart tonight, cause you to see that one day He's coming. And I believe it could be tonight. I believe it's that close. When I see what's happening over in the Middle East and I read the Scripture, and Brother Titus read a Scripture over in Ezekiel 39 today, and it talks about when the armies of the world are gathered there in Israel, that the time's come where folks are gathering there right now. I believe it. Knowing that I'll have to stand before God and answer for every word I'm saying to you, I believe with all my heart we're right on the threshold of Him appearing in the clouds. I believe that. And I'll do everything within my power tonight to try to reach you, to get you to see what a terrible, dangerous, awful condition you're in tonight without Jesus Christ. But only He can do that. Thank you. God bless you, Brother Titus.